Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. And we're going to begin our day by reading from the scriptures. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Genesis 39:3. I'm sure you can already remember who that is about. Have you ever found yourself in a position completely opposite of where you hope to be? Well, you're not alone. Joseph, a favored child, was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers and faced the prospect of a dismal life. Still, he made the most of his situation and excelled in his lowly state. Then things got even worse. Joseph was accused of a crime he didn't commit and was thrown into prison. Most people would be downright depressed at this point, mad at the world and mad at God. But he again found favor, and this time with the prison warden, who entrusted him with important responsibilities. Afterwards, through another series of miraculous circumstances, God raised Joseph up to become Pharaoh's right-hand man, and God ultimately used this former slave and prisoner to preserve the people of Israel during a great famine. Faith check. You might find yourself in a difficult training ground as well, but be assured that the same God who prepared Joseph for great things is preparing you. A person who excels in his or her work will stand before kings, Proverbs 22:29. And our devotional saying for the day is by Donna Partow. Other people may have more talent, education, or experience, but God's favor can cause you to go places you could not go on your own. Now it's time for our prayer. We have so many prayer requests. I know that there is a lot of needs on this planet, and so I'm going to just hold them up to the Lord and ask that you do as well. Dear Lord, today we're praying for a young man who is trying to finish college and just has run out of finances, and he just is depressed with a heavy academic load, and we ask that you be with his mind. We know all wisdom comes from you. We pray for another family that is trying to sell their home, and they've certainly outgrown it. Their children are many, and we pray for them. Most of all, Lord, we pray that each one of us, each one hearing this show, will have a closer relationship with you, will have confidence, will have the peace that passes understanding that only comes from you. I thank you so much, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In your holy name, amen. Today, in the last half of the show, we're going to be introducing you to Billy Hollowell. He wrote the book called Fault Line, and he is really speaking out strongly against mainstream media, the entertainment industry, and educational system. So we always put a little bit of a disclaimer with that, because while this information is very important, we also do not want to be overly critical. With this in mind, Billy Hollowell skillfully explores how society's main educational avenues are failing to deliver content and is creating a bunch of non-believers. So you'll want to hear this show. Ta-da! Let's talk about arts and crafts. So today we're talking about friendship, and I have some really cute things. I always celebrate friendship during Valentine's, because at school I don't want them to be silly about girlfriend-boyfriend stuff, but I certainly want them to be totally embracing the idea of being friends. So I thought it'd be cool to just look at some things you can do with paper plates. Paper plates, I always keep a big stack of paper plates on hand because I do so many things with them. I teach fractions, I make hats. But today we're just going to look at making my favorite thing, and it's called a owl Valentine paper plate. And you can actually make this particular picture that I have on my Pinterest site doesn't show you, but you can make the wings of the owl and the heart-shaped head with the googly eyes. You can make it where you put a brad in it and then it goes around the body of the paper plate. So it says here on this one, owl always love you. Well, you can have other sayings too, like who will always love you and hoo hoo hooray, you've made my day. Things like that you can take and always expand and be a little creative. So if you need to go to my Pinterest, it's pinterest.com/mrgamblin2, and this is the paper plate craft idea board. You can get other ideas there, but I really like taking an idea and then expanding it a little bit. So that would be a fun way to, you know, make some Valentines for the friends in your life. And we always like to go and give gifts to the first responders in the area. So you might just pile all the kids into the car and go out and visit your local police station or your local fire station and give them one of your homemade owl Valentine plate creations. Curriculum Corner. So we're going to talk about reading, and I believe that fundamentally reading and phonics awareness and all of that sets the stage for the success of so many other subjects. I like the one that's called ABC Jesus Loves Me. The publisher is ABC Jesus Loves Me. It is a 5-level curriculum for children ages 1 through 5. It can be used in class groups or for homeschooling. It's designed for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year for ages 1 through 5 respectively. And so 5 years serves as the pre-kindergarten program. This really helps families who maybe have younger children and they want to do a little something with that younger child while they're teaching the others, but they doesn't need to be a full-fledged sit-down type of thing. And the neat thing about this ABC Jesus Loves Me, it covers Bible, science, reading readiness, introductory math, gross and fine motor skills, character traits, self-care, manners, visual perception, music, and art. So, and even sign language. So you have a all-in-one that you could use for your little ones. ABC Jesus Loves Me, publisher ABC Jesus Loves Me, and I really highly recommend it. Questions homeschooling families ask. Well, I have a question here from CJ, and she says, how many days a week do you have school? And some have responded to her, said 3 days and a community day, or 4 days at home and 1 day at enrichment. That's the beauty of homeschooling. You can do little 2 or 3 hour a day sessions all week long, or you can have little longer sessions on a couple of days. There's no requirement. Some families just stick by, you know, 5 days a week. It's just like mom and dad going to work, kids go to work, and that's what they do. There's not been any scientific proof that more time is better than less time, even though, you know, the traditional education system would like to say, oh, we need to do away with recess because it's taken away from academics. But the truth of the matter is there's a balance, and each balance might be different for each family. I have a question here from Lindsay. Says, tonight we are supposed to drive to my parents' house for my dad's 60th birthday tomorrow and Super Bowl. I live in another state and it is a 3-hour drive. We were just there this past week for a funeral. The problem is my niece is sick. Sounds like the flu, and her classroom has confirmed flu cases. So that is probably it. She was at my parents' last night, and knowing my sister, she will definitely still be there tomorrow despite being sick. My family, 3 kids and husband, had the flu a few weeks ago. It was awful and so hard on all of us. I really want to be there for my dad's birthday, but now I'm just worried about how I can be there with everyone sick. Can someone tell me what they would do? Should we just go and hope for the best? Well, my first reaction is yes, because it will mean so much to your dad. I know as a grandparent, it would mean a lot for me to be able to see you. And then second of all, I would suggest that if you've had the flu already, your immune system's very bright and you won't be as likely to get it again. But I'll share with you what some people are saying. So Rachel says, if it was me, I would go. Our parents won't be around forever. I'd take my vitamins D and C, elderberry, and stay at a hotel. There's quite a few people that believe you should go, but then there's some that say, nope, don't go. Can you go without the kids? It's hard for the kids to take the proper precautions, but you would make sure you washed your hands and didn't eat after anybody that was sick. And then others say, go and take as many immunity boosters as possible. I'm here to tell you, you're more likely to get sick from stopping at a rest stop than you are from going to your house. That's just been how it is when the flu's going around. It's everywhere. So there you have it. It probably doesn't help you much. I hope you go and have a good time and look back and know that that's exactly what God wanted you to do.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
So I'm talking with Billy Holloway. He's contributed to the Washington Post, Human Events, the Daily Caller, Mediate, the Huffington Post, among other news sites. Through journalism, media, public speaking, and the biosphere, and I'll come back and ask you what you mean by that, Hollowell has worked as a journalist, a commentator for more than a decade, even though you look quite young to me. He has also appeared on Fox News, FoxNews.com Live, and the HuffPost Live, and among other outlets. Hollowell attended the College of Mount St. Vincent, Riverdale, New York, and graduated with a BA in Communications, with concentrations in broadcasting, corporate communication, and journalism, and a minor in writing. Hollowell completed his master's in social research from Hunter College in Manhattan, New York. And you can follow him on Twitter at Billy Hollowell, or you can go to his website, Hollowell, and that's spelled like Hall O Well, HALLOWELL, faultlinebook.com. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm very interested. It almost seems that more and more people are recognizing that our worldview and the values that we held so sacred are dissipating. And your book, Fault Line, How a Seismic Shift in Culture is Threatening Free Speech and Shaping the Next Generation, goes right along with the awareness that I'm seeing not only among you, but other people that I interview. And I actually started this particular season with interviewing George Barna, who just released his study on the worldview and recognizing that the millennialists.
That's a good
millennialists,
word. It gets me every time, too.
That their children actually, 4% of them have a biblical or faith-based worldview. So when you talk about the seismic shift in culture, it's a real thing. Now, you're a young person. It's great that you're thinking along these lines, but I want to know why you're thinking along these lines.
You know, it kind of goes back to probably 2002 when I was going to college. That was the year I went to college, and I left Rochester, New York, where I grew up. And I went down to New York City and I entered a college, and I'm an evangelical. It was a Catholic college. I had a scholarship and I went, and, you know, I thought, okay, there's going to be some values here that I'm used to, but it was New York. So New York culture had kind of permeated all of that. And it was the first time that I was somewhere where I thought, wow, nobody here is really like me, and I'm living in this bizarre world now where I'm trying to adjust to that. And so that had kind of got me on a path of thinking and listening to other people. And instead of changing my views, it really kind of refined my views and feeling more confident in what it meant. And of course, there's always, you know, road bumps along the way, but what it meant to be a Christian and what it meant to be somebody who tends to be a little more conservative on the conservative side of things. And so that's kind of where it started. And I have had a deep concern about Hollywood media universities for a long time based on my experience, but also going into media and starting to work in media and seeing that there was this deep bias there based in large part on an ignorance of what Christians believe, what conservatives believe. And I started to see connections across all three of those and became concerned in maybe the last 2 or 3 years that if you're not learning from a church and your family's not teaching you these things, you are being educated by Hollywood media and universities. That's where we learn. Yes. And so when there's a bias there, it becomes very troubling.
And public education in general. So at a very young age, there is an agenda. It's very humanistic, probably, I would.
It lacks the values. I mean, at the end of the day, because people will have these debates, there's indoctrination. Well, either way, it lacks the values that have made America, I think, great, that America was based on. And Christianity, the underpinnings of Christianity are not there, and of the Judeo-Christian tradition are not there. And so really, you end up with a troubling situation. And I think the reason we're hearing so many people start to talk about this now is because it's hitting a fever pitch. I think the decades of this that have kind of forged on slowly, now we're seeing the impact, and it's hitting us all at once. And we're seeing perspectives, as I'm sure George Barna told you and as many others have found in their research, the perspectives are shifting, and they're shifting fast, and they're really, really hitting millennials, which I'm a part of that generation.
Yes, so. And you know, I've read in your bio all those different media outlets that you were involved with. Was this the general topic, or what led you to be on those shows or to be talking with those people?
You know, I think when it comes to HuffPo Live and some of the other outlets, you know, they would call because they knew I had a perspective that might be different from what they were expecting. And, you know, I spent 5 years as the faith editor at TheBlaze.com, which is an outlet that is owned by Glenn Beck. It has a very conservative audience, but our whole deal with presenting news when I was there was we want to present the news fairly to an audience. You know, these are stories we know that conservatives, and we had a huge Christian audience, will care about, but they don't need to be editorials. They don't need to be opinion pieces. They can be fair. And so I think that was something that maybe kind of attracted some people. Like, you know, this is somebody who might not agree with me. If, let's say this person's a liberal thinking this, but they're being fair. He's being fair. And so we tried to do that. And I think that probably led to some of those opportunities to go to those places that we might consider unfriendly. And they weren't. I mean, I had great conversations at Huffington Post Live, and I didn't agree with the people I was talking with, but we had good conversations.
You know, it's always amazing how God leads. So you obviously were well-grounded by the time you went to the university. And the university scene is known as kind of a party place, and a lot of people go there, you know, it's their partying time of their life. And yet you went there and you were grounded. What made you so grounded?
You know, I think I would be lying if I said I struggled at moments, you know, when I got there. But there was a point where I said, okay, this is not true. I know what truth is. And so we kind of sometimes go through those spiritual moments and those times. And I definitely had those. But I think for me, it was the upbringing. I grew up in a Christian home. And so even when you stray, I mean, you go back to Proverbs, you look at, you know, is it Proverbs 3? I'm forgetting right now. But, you know, when you train up a child, and that was actually the dedication of the book to my daughters, because I think my parents did a good job of that. And even when I did stray, I was able to come back and I think, you know, rediscover that and realizing over time, you know, people are busy. People are busy in their lives. They're not thinking about the themes in media and Hollywood and universities, but it really started to hit me. And I think it was something that God kind of put on my heart and in my mind to explore this deeper. And, you know, these are, again, they're not new topics. We know the bias is there, but what Faultline, the attempt that I make in Faultline is to kind of bring together, the book starts with, here's where we are. It's kind of scary, and we have a massive void in culture here. But here, now, after we talk about where we are, here's how we got here. Here's what's wrong with media. Here's what's wrong with Hollywood. Here's what's wrong with universities. And then there's some challenging things at the end, I think, for Christians, because, you know, we've spent a lot of time complaining, and rightfully so, But we haven't maybe spent as much time trying to figure out, okay, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to fix this problem?
And are you a product of public education, homeschooling? What was your educational
background? I went to a public school, and I was fortunate enough to go to a very good public school. But during that time, going to public school, I was very involved in my church, right? So we talk about church being a source of education, mm-hmm. too. I was involved in youth group. So I had that while I was going through, and I had that in the home. I mean, you take that out, you take church out, you take those values out in the home, and you've got a big problem because you have media, Hollywood, and universities raising kids.
Yes.
And I think that's where we are right now. And
I do have listeners who have no other choice but to send their children to public school. And your testimony is really heartwarming to them because they don't want their children to lose those values and lose faith. And so you're a testament to the fact that if the home stays solid and church is there for you, that, you know, not only will you weather that experience, but you'll be a light in that arena. I mean, those are huge mission fields, and really the only ones that can be missionaries there are the students, because the teachers are really, their hands are tied by the certain laws that
their hands really are tied to. And I think that's an important thing, because I think when we talk about it, it becomes sort of anti-teacher sometimes. And it's like, look, it's a tough situation.
Yes.
You want to keep your job and you want to do what's within the bounds mm-hmm. of the law. And you become afraid in those positions, I think, sometimes to talk about even the things you're allowed to talk about.
Yes.
Because there's misconceptions
yes.
about what's allowed.
Yes.
So
yes, and we probably should do a whole show sometime on that, because, you know, if a child does talk to a teacher about spiritual things, the teacher can respond to a certain degree.
Yes.
But, you know, the student has to bring it up. So tell us why the media and entertainment industry in particular, we kind of talked about education. How is the entertainment industry, in your opinion, pushing our children and our youth and our, you know, young adults away from faith?
You know, I think it starts with kids and it moves on to adults too. The numbers, when you look at them on issues like divorce, like sex before marriage, all of those things, they have changed so dramatically among adults and kids. You know, it affects kids the most because we've seen an explosion of media and an explosion of Hollywood in the last decade. We have smartphones, we have tablets, we're inundated. And we were not as inundated when I was a teenager 15 years ago, and we were not as inundated even a decade ago. So that's the first factor we have to look at is there is a massive influx of content. While that has been going on, there's also a massive influx of sex, violence, and a lot of content has gotten so dark, especially on TV. I mean, you turn on primetime TV and you can't believe what you're seeing now. That was not okay just a few years ago. So you're being inundated, and you're being inundated with a lot of stuff that is
yes.
not good for the soul. And it's
yes.
not, it's just not good for us.
Yes.
So I think that's the first area to look at. And with media, you know, you've had a consistent bias in media, a consistent ignorance in media. I think one statistic that I have in the book, it's from the Pew Research Center. They asked journalists in 2007 how often they go to church. 8% of journalists go to church weekly, or did back in 2007. 8%. At the time, 39% of Americans were going to church weekly. You already have a major disconnect right there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, church attendance isn't the only indicator of being a Christian, but there's a good chance there that 8% of journalists being so low means they don't have a good idea of what Christians believe, probably.
We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.